abounding. Always abounding. And obviously they both start with A, and so I guess we could say we're having an AA meeting tonight. And I don't know if any of you have ever been there, but you're supposed to stand up and tell us who your name is, things like that. And so I could say, hello, my name's Robbie Stanley, and I'm a Christian. All right, I wouldn't say I'm an alcoholic, but I'm a Christian. And because I'm a Christian, I always should be abounding. It's not like a suggestion. It's a command. And we're supposed to always be abounding. And of course, there are some ups and downs in life, things like that. But even when we go through some downs, if we're right with the Lord and He's not doing it for punishment or whatever, and we know that God is in control of everything, we can be even abounding when we're going through a hard time. Okay, Lord, I don't know what you're doing this for. I might not even agree with why you're doing this if I did know why you were doing it, things like that. But Lord, I do know you're doing it. You're in control, and I want to trust you and not get out of line here and learn what you're trying to teach me, all that kind of stuff. So we can always be abounding. We can be learning from something. We can be excited about being a Christian, things like that. Of course, the devil wants us to be depressed. He wants us to get upset. He wants us to blame God, be mad, things like that. But the Bible tells us, and we're going to read it here in just a second, 1 Corinthians 15, that we're supposed to always be abounding. I know there were some people that could jump a tall building, and all that kind of stuff, and outrun a speeding bullet, things like that. But I don't know that that's for real. And abound and abound, or bounding and abounding, is a little bit different. Again, you might jump really high, and that is a bound, but abounding is existing in. In other words, God wants us to be alive and be a good testimony and existing in whatever we're going through. The devil wants us to say, okay, if I'm going to go through this sickness, or if I'm going to go through this hard time, or if I'm going to go through this disappointment, I'm just going to, get depressed. I'm going to shut down, things like that, and so forth, and not abound. But God wants us to abound. He actually says, exist. Don't be non-existent in whatever you're going through. Exist. Then it also means to providing a great quantity or a supply. Or to be prevalent is what abounding means. To be prevalent, obviously, is a word that we don't use a lot. But prevalent means to be accepted. We want our behavior to be accepted by God. That's how He's going to be able to bless us. Is okay, I see he's going through a hard time, or I see she's going through a heartache, or I see this or that, but they're trusting in me. They're being a good testimony. They're being prevalent. I'm accepting their behavior. Then also prevalent means to be favored. And again, if we're going to be favored by God or blessed by God, we have to do it according to His word, and that therefore He can favor us. But then it also means prevalent. Also means to be dominant. And again, sometimes dominant and aggressive and masculinity in our day and time, we can't say those words. Those are like bad words. But according to the Bible, we're supposed to always abound. In other words, we ought to dominate this Christian life. Again, not in our own flesh, but with the Bible to help us, the Holy Spirit to help us, our faith in God to help us. I can do all things through Christ. I can have strong confidence in the Lord, even though I'm going through something I may not understand, agree with, I wouldn't have chosen it, but I can always abound. So we ought not go through life and be non-existent in our Christian life. We ought to go through life being an example, shedding light, being a light into this world, being the salt that we're supposed to be a witness. We're supposed to be accepted, not rejected by God. We're supposed to be favored, not punished by God. We're supposed to be dominant, not defeated. I can do all things through Christ. I can have this strong confidence. So let's look at verse 50 of chapter 15, verse 50, and we'll start reading there. And it says here, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Excuse me. Then it goes on to say in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So, because of all this, this corruption shall have put in incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. They shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Why can we be dominant? Why can we always be abounding? Because death is going to be swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And, you know, again, sometimes death is probably the most bleak or the most dreaded thing to talk about. But even it, the Bible says here, that can be swallowed up in victory. It can have no sting. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. So even if we go through what we might consider the toughest thing or the most dreaded thing, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So even if we're going through something, God can give you the victory through Jesus. Verse 58, and here it is. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So even when we're going through something that we dislike, we wouldn't have chosen, but we're supposed to always be abounding in the work of the Lord, and so forth. And so, again, just like we do go through disappointments with layoffs, we go through disappointments with losing loved ones. We go through disappointments with sicknesses, things like that. We can always, even in those situations, we can abound. Why? Because we've heard this story. I've read the back of the book, and we win. We're going to be changed. We're going to take this corruption, take it off, put incorruption on. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be like Christ, and we're going to be able to live forever in heaven. So because of that, we can always abound. Verse 52 says we're going to be changed, so we ought to be abounding. We're going to be different one day. Verse 54 says that death is going to be swallowed up in victory, so we can be abundant, or we can always abound. Because there's no sting in death, verse 55, we can always abound. Because God gives us the victory, verse 57, we can always abound. So he says here three things. Because of all that, I want you to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so we ought to be abounding at church. We ought to be abounding at home. We ought to be abounding at work. And we ought to even be abounding at play. And some of us like some of those different categories there in different ways. But we ought to always be abounding. So a lot of people that come to church say, amen, praise the Lord, good to see you, brother. And it seems like they're abounding, but they go home and it's like, get out of my way, hush, don't talk to me. And like, okay, you know, what happened? You know, at church you were all hunky-dory and everything was great and you were talking to everybody else sweet and nice. And now, all right, no, we're supposed to abound at home too. Now, I'm not saying you ought to go in there and praise the Lord, woman, and oh, God is good. You know, y'all not do that at home. They'll be thinking, what happened to them? But you can be excited and you can be happy about being home. And then at work, ooh, that's a four-letter word, right? But just like Brother Dave prays, we ought to be a testimony at work. And the only way to be a testimony at work is to be abounding. And again, I'm not saying take your pulpit with you to work and let everybody, you know, let it rip, tater chip, and you know, tell everybody they're dying and frying and all that kind of stuff. That's not just being abounding. But we ought to be happy. We ought to be a good testimony. You know, what's wrong with you? Well, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Well, what's wrong with you? Well, I'm going to live forever. Well, what happened to you? I mean, praise the Lord. God's good. He's helping me through this. So we ought to always be abounding at church, at home, at work, at play, and so forth. So I'm going to give you a couple of verses to go along with this. And then we'll see four or five verses where it says for what to abound in, and we'll be through. Romans 13:14 says this, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay, so we see here in this verse, we're commanded to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. A while ago, I put this jacket on. Okay, and so that's exactly how we're supposed to put Jesus on. You know, again, we're supposed to put him on. And, you know, again, just like we, you know, put our pants on, we put our shirt on, we comb our hair, we brush our teeth, and we go out the door. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ should be in that routine. Again, I'm very routine oriented. I do the same thing pretty much at the same time every morning. I comb both my hairs. I put my deodorant on. I brush my teeth. I shave, all that kind of stuff. I put some clothes on. But I don't want to go out of that house without putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday morning, it was pretty chilly. And so I put a little vest on when I came up here and so forth. Why? Because it was a little chilly when I left the house. So I put that jacket on. Today it was again a little chilly. I went over to the Shelbyville dump or recycle center and threw a bunch of junk away that I tore down at my house and so forth. So I put a fleece on. But by the time I got unloading that trailer, I didn't need that fleece anymore. I'd worked up a sweat. But you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we see here it ought to be a mental thing, just like I put my clothes on so I don't get arrested. I brush my teeth so I'm not offensive to people. I comb my hair and I match my clothes so I look presentable. And why? Because I want to always abound. So you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says here, and make no provision for the flesh. So just like we go through our routine, put on Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. Don't look at things that you shouldn't look at. Don't listen to things that you shouldn't listen to. Don't talk about things you shouldn't talk about. Don't listen to jokes and things like that. Don't make provision for the flesh. Why? Because you'll fulfill the lust thereof. And so what are we supposed to do is put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So we can always abound. Second verse I'll read you. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Why does God put verses like this in the Bible? So we can always abound. If we're not separated from them, it's going to suck the life out of us, and we're not going to be able to abound. So there are, just like we're not supposed to make any provision for the flesh, there are some people we might not need to hang around and just stay away from them. Why? So we can always be abounding. Romans 16:17 says this, "Now I beseech ye, brethren," talking to saved people, "mark them." So just like we're supposed to separate from them, in this verse, we're supposed to mark them, "which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." So again, the only way we can always abound is we cannot fellowship a lot. For instance, if you can witness to one of these people, that's fine. But again, if you're going to argue doctrine all day long, it's going to suck the life out of you, and you're not going to be able to always abound. So if they're going to be contrary to the doctrines that the Bible's taught us, mark and avoid. I don't say beat them up, curse them out, shoot them. No, it just says avoid them. This will help you always abound. Here's another one. 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Why? So we can always abound. That's why God has these principles in the book, in the Bible, so we can always abound. We're not supposed to love the world. We're supposed to set our affections on things above, the Bible says. So we can't do both. So love not the world, the world's philosophy. Love not the things of this world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So definitely he can't abound if the love of the Father is not in him. A couple more. Matthew 6:11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Why do we need our daily bread? So we can always abound. I'll be going through my day sometimes and it's just like, "Oh, no, man, this is just not flowing. This is not going. I don't feel like I'm abounding. Duh, I forgot to read my Bible." Goofus. You don't have help and so forth. Oh, so stop right away. "Lord, I'm sorry. I goofed. I got out of my routine. I forgot. This is happening, this happened, and I just started my day. Sorry. Give us this day our daily bread." Why do we need our daily bread? So we can always abound. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Why should we pray without ceasing? So we can always abound. I know I have to pray all the time because my flesh just likes to poke its head up. My temper likes to rear its head up. And so I have to pray all the time. "Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me." Why? Because I want to abound. So just like the Bible says, there's a bunch of thou shalt nots and there's a whole lot of thou shalts. Why should we not and why should we? So we can always abound. So we see that the Bible is laid out to help us to always abound. Now, we're going to look at a few things here. If you want to, you can go to these verses. If you don't, you can just write them down. But these verses all say the word abound in them. And so if we're always supposed to be abounding, let's look in the Bible and see what we're supposed to always be abounding in. So number one, we're always supposed to be abounding in hope. abounding in hope. Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Always be abounding in hope. And we say it a lot. Are you going to be there tomorrow? I hope so. You coming to church Sunday? I hope so. Again, and we just kind of say it. But we ought to mean it. And the Bible says in Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so obviously our hope is in the Lord. We hear stuff like we heard this beginning of last week, somebody attacking Israel, other things happening in our world. Obviously, if you watch the news, that'll suck the hope right out of you with all the things that's going on in our day and time. You know, again, you can't listen to the news without saying somebody was shot, four people were shot, this people was shot, this person was shot, things like that. And so you, But the Bible tells us to always abound in hope. God, I hope that, you know, you let me do something to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Lord, I hope you allow churches and areas to reach people and get people saved. Again, that's why we ought to knock doors. That's why we ought to lead people to Christ. Why? So they don't shoot us one day. If you get them saved, less chance of them shooting you. So they don't have an abortion one day. Why? Because they're saved. And so they don't live that type of lifestyle where they would do something like that. That's why we ought to do that. We ought to hope. God, help us. Help us to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problems. Hope is this, a cherished desire or anticipation, or we want something to happen so bad, and we have that desire with expectation. So we ought to always abound in hope, abounding in hope. Psalm 71:5 says this, "For thou art my hope, O Lord, thou art my trust from my youth." Again, when I read that verse, I thank God that God is my hope, and I thank God that I did start hoping in Him in my youth. And that's why today I would stand here and say, I'm trying my best to abound. Why? Because I'm hoping in God. I hope that He's going to fix situations. I hope He's going to help us reach people. I hope that I grow closer to Him. I hope that everybody in our church grows closer to Him. I hope, I hope, I hope. Why? Because God is the God of hope. And I've been hoping in Him since my youth. I needed Him when I was a teenager. I was a rebellious little punk weed. And I hope that God wouldn't kill me. And I hope that God would help me grow. And I hope that God would instruct me and guide me in my life. And He's been doing that since my youth. Psalm 71:14 says this, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more." So not only, God, did I start hoping in You in my youth, I hope in You continually. And with Your help, I'm going to just keep hoping more and more and more. And what will that do? It will help me always abound. And the Bible tells me, always be abounding. Abounding in what? In hope. Number two. Here's another one. Always abound in love. Always abound in love. Philippians 1:9 says this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment." And so again, you see here when you look at the words abound, and I've already seen it several times in some of these verses, you hear the word more and more. Just keep doing it. You hear peace. You hear joy. You hear believe. And all this is wrapped up into abounding, always abounding in the Lord. But abound in love. We ought to love God. 1 Corinthians 8:3 says this, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." And so if you're in love with God and your love is abounding, He knows it. Again, you know, all of us obviously have dated or got married and things like that. And, you know, the only way that can proceed, proceed is if they know that you like them. We used to, when we were little, we'd ask a friend of ours to ask that person, "Do you like so-and-so? They like you," things like that. We'd use the system. But they finally found out that we liked them. God knows if you love Him. If you're abounding in love, God knows it. Not only should we love God, but we're supposed to love one another. John 15:12. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And again, we see the Bible tells us that we're supposed to abound in love. Love for God. Love for one another. Third, love for the lost. We're supposed to abound in love for the lost. I've seen it in churches before. You know, again, I'm praise the Lord for we're getting a new section of the parking lot and things like that. And then I like that we have a nice church. But the more people you get in here, the more stuff starts wearing out. You know, you start getting children in Sunday school, things like that. There's going to start being markers on the wall instead of just white. Mark messed up the wall. Praise God. They heard the truth. And we need a lot more of them to get saved and a lot more of them to get baptized. So things just start happening. But if you abound in love, again, it's just like, you know, I was taught and I was glad that I was taught this. You know, you don't treat your kids like you love the carpet more than you love them. Right? What are you doing spilling milk on my carpet? Right, don't cry over spilt milk. You ain't heard that verse? It's not in the Bible. But anyway, you know, again, we're supposed to, you know, now, if you tell them, you know, don't go in the living room with the milk, stay in the kitchen, and then they go in the living room and spill it, then you can spank them for being disobedient. But you don't spank them for getting milk on the carpet, even though it smells sour, nasty. All right? So we see here we're supposed to abound in love. And then number three, abound in faith. We're supposed to always be abounding in faith. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith. In faith. And we all know this verse, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We already talked about hope. We see how all this abounding is just intertwined. Hope for and the evidence of things not seen. So we're supposed to abound in things that we can't see. We're supposed to abound in things that we have to trust God in. So have faith in God. Mark 11:22 says this, and Jesus answered, saying unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. This is how to abound. Have faith in God. God's going to take care of everything. God's going to take care of the problems that we might face. Have faith in God. Be strong in faith. Romans 4:20. It says here, he staggered not. Obviously, that word staggered means that you've lost some strength. Maybe somebody's given you a good blow and so forth. But to be strong in the faith, Romans 4 says here, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And so, of course, our doubting, of course, we know verses in the Bible. Lord, I have faith in you. Help my unbelief. So, you know, just like we make a decision, okay, we're going to have faith in God. I'm going to abound in faith. Then that doubt just jumps right in there. So we have to keep asking Him. Keep asking Him. Don't be staggered with that promise of unbelief. But was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. Here's another one about faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. And it says, quit ye like men and be strong. Now that word quit there means doesn't give up, doesn't mean give up, doesn't mean quit. Quit there means act like. I'll read it again. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong. And so just like young boys, that's what they do. They mimic what they see in manhood. And how to walk, and how to talk, and how to work, and how to be honest, things like that. They start acting like a man. And so that's what the Bible says here. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, act like men, behave like men, pretend to be like a man. And that's how you abound in faith. Number four, abound in our walk. Abound in our walk. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, so again, we see here abound in all these things. And here's some more. Furthermore, then we beseech, we beg you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk, and please God, so you would abound more and more. So we've been taught from the Bible. We've been taught by our parents. We've been taught by Sunday school teachers over the years. And what we're supposed to do is more and more of it. You keep walking. You keep walking. Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Again, another word that we don't use often. But you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means basically to walk carefully and considering all circumstances. Be prudent. So when we're supposed to abound, we're supposed to walk circumspectly. We're also supposed to walk uprightly. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. So how can we abound in our walk? Because God's going to give us anything we need. It says right there, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. So why do you do what you do? Because I want God to bless me. Why do you act like you want you act? I want God to bless me. This verse right here says, He will withhold nothing from me that I need. This will help me abound. And I'm excited about that. And if he can swallow up death, He can take care of this situation. If it caused me to be able to live forever in heaven, He can take care of this situation. I'm going to always walk and be abounding in my walk. Proverbs 2:7 says this, and He laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And so, again, how can I abound, always abound? Walk uprightly, and God's my buckler. He's right there. He's going to give me wisdom, and He's not going to withhold anything from me. So, abound in our walk. Number five, abound in grace. Abound in grace. 2 Peter 1:8. For if these things be in you and abound. And of course, if you went down through 1 Peter, or I guess above verse 8, verse 8 says, for these things be in you and abound. All right, so obviously you'd have to look back before and see what Peter was talking about here. These things. Verse 2 says, grace. So we're supposed to abound with grace. Again, grace is something that you get that you do not deserve. And so we're supposed to abound in that. And it's hard to do, especially in a vehicle. Today I was coming back from Shelbyville from going to the dump. And of course they're working over there and they got the red lights and only one lane in the traffic. And so I'm sitting there in the one lane coming back towards my house, and here comes people down the emergency lane. And they're going around me. All right, my flesh wanted to take my truck and just jump right out in front of them and stop them, let everybody go, but I didn't. I abounded in grace. I didn't honk my horn. I didn't scream stupid. All right, I just sat there abounding in grace, and guess what? When the red light turned green and we had that lane, we got to go, and there was one of those men at work signs that had stopped them all. All right? And I didn't wave. I just said, okay, thank you, Lord. You got to always abound in grace. Again, now, obviously, when we're commanded to, train up a child, you can't just grace, 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 grace. You have to teach. You have to correct. You have to discipline, things like that. But nothing wrong with having grace with your kid every once in a while. And tell them that. Said, Jesus forgave and Jesus gave mercy. I'm going to give mercy this time. I'm going to give grace this time. And so verse 2 says, always abound in grace. Verse 5 says this, says faith and virtue. We're supposed to abound in that faith and virtue. Verse 6 says this, and the knowledge and the temperance and patience and godliness. So we're supposed to abound in all these. And then verse 7 says, brotherly kindness and charity. So in 2 Peter 1, verse 8, it tells us, for these things abound. Number 1 was grace. Verse 9 says this, says, if you are not abounding in these things, you are lacking in these things. And you're blind and you cannot see afar off. You can't see those spiritual truths. You can't see those things that God is doing that. And number 2, it says here, and He hath forgotten that he was purged from his sins. So the person that is not always abounding, he's going to eventually get to the time where he maybe even forgets he's saved. The Bible even says that you can live in a way that would look like you had never been saved. So this is why it's important that we always abound. Always look on the bright side. Always look at what God's trying to teach you. Don't be blind to those things. If God's trying to teach you, look, learn, and don't be the person that you've forgotten that you've been purged of your sins. So always abound in grace. Number 6, abound in every good work. Abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that always having all sufficiency in all things. There's a lot of all in this one. In all things, that you may abound to every good work. So God wants us to abound in every good work. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine. That's a good work. always abound. Maintain good works. We talked about this and when we preached on maintenance. It's all about maintenance. So we're supposed to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Why are we always supposed to be abounding in good works? So people can see God in us and that God will get the credit. Not for us to get the credit. Not for us to get the accolades. Not for us to get the pat on the back. But we're always supposed to be abounding in letting our light shine and so people can see our good works and glorify God in heaven. Here's another one. Titus 2:7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. And in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. You can be an example to yourself. You can be an example to others and have a pattern of good works. Here's another one. Titus 2:14. Purify unto yourself. Be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So all these things that we're supposed to be doing, we saw coming out from among them. We saw mark and avoid them. We saw be love not the world. All the things that we get accused of legalism. All right. Nobody says you have to be different from the world to be saved. You just have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody says you have to separate from people that are walking disorderly to be saved. That's what legalism means. But if we're going to be always abounding, we do need to do those things. And it says here, in all things, and show thyself a pattern. Be a peculiar people, not a weirdo. Okay? God doesn't want us to be weird. Again, walking around all weird and everything, All right? We don't need to be that way. We need to be for real. We need to be, a good person. But we also need to be peculiar. Why are you different? Why don't you go to those places? Why don't you talk like that? Why don't you look like that? I'm trying to be peculiar. That's a good work. We ought to be zealous of that. Again, not to the Pharisaical point. Don't go around with phylacteries on and say your prayers and give your alms so people will think you're all that. But don't not be zealous of your good works and be a peculiar person. Titus 3:14. And let us also learn to maintain good works. Maintain good works. We've got to keep it up. Always abounding in good works. And Hebrews 10:24. And let us, talking about us right here. Obviously, he's talking about all Christians in the Bible. But let us consider one another. All right, so we're supposed to consider one another. I'm always abounding, but I want to consider everybody in Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I want everybody in Lighthouse Baptist Church to consider me. It says here, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. So this is how we always abound. Have other people cheering us on, other people encouraging us, other people provoking us, not to wrath, all right? My team beat your team. No, don't provoke each other to wrath. I'm smarter than you. No, don't provoke each other to wrath. We could just keep on going, and I don't want to provoke anybody to wrath. But we're supposed to provoke each other to love and to good works. Hey, come go with me. Hey, let's do this. Let's work at this. Let's have a work day. Let's do something for God. Provoke one another. So in conclusion, we see here all these things we're supposed to abound in. And so in conclusion, Colossians 2:7 says this, abound in thanksgiving. Obviously, it's next month, but we ought to be thankful year round. Colossians 2:7 says this, rooted. In other words, to always abound, you're going to have it deep down inside. Rooted and built up in Him, in Jesus, and established in the faith as you have been taught. So anybody that's going to always abound, it's going to be inside of them. It's just not going to be happenstance. It's not going to be when I get around to it. It's not going to be occasionally. It's somebody that's rooted. And this is my established life. It's in the faith. I've been taught this. Then it goes on to say here, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so I can say, thank God for creating me. Thank God for saving me. Thank God for letting me serve Him. Thank God that He put people in my life that would teach me. Thank God He gave me people that have to be friends and to be co-laborers together. Thank God, thank God. Always abounding, but thankful. Always abounding and be thankful. Abounding in blessing. Proverbs 28:20 says this, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. And I've had people tell me that before. Seems like everything you do turns to gold. No, it's just God's blessing. It's not me. Only thing I deserve is to die and go to hell. But anything I have above that, obviously, is my salvation. But my wife, my children, my ministry, my church, my friends, all that kind of stuff, always abounding. Praise God for that. And so, again, my dad used to tell me, it's all in how you look at it. And I was like, what does that mean? Like with a smirk on my face? With a poochy lip? No, that definitely was not the way he was, what he was talking about. Because if I had a poochy lip, he wanted me to be happy about it. It's all in how you look at it. Again, if you look at it in the biblical sense, abounding in work, abounding in love, abounding in grace, abounding in peace, abounding in joy, abounding with thanksgiving, if you have that outlook on life, it'll help you always abound. Again, I know we have situations that come up in our life that we would not choose, that we don't even agree with. But God can help us always abound in those situations. So let's have a word of prayer. And let's work on always abounding. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to have to serve you. Lord, thank you for all the scripture that we see that tells us that we're supposed to always be abounding. And there's a lot of things to abound in. And if we, I guess, set our affections on things above and try to do that, maybe we'll forget about some of that stuff that's going on down here. And Lord, help us realize that you've got it all under control anyway. Lord, we can just give you that and just go through life abounding. And so I just ask you to, like the Bible tells us, bring our burden to you, leave it there, go through life abounding in Jesus' name. Amen.